Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of Future Brew, Michigan football recruiting podcast here on MaizeandBrew.com. I am Vaughn Lozon. Join me today, as always, the five-tool podcaster slash YouTube expert slash whatever the hell you want to call him, Steven Ossentoski. My man, how you doing? How was your holiday weekend?
Doing all right. I need to find three other things to do. If I'm a five tool guy, I got to figure out my other three things. But no, it was good. Got some time on the lake, and you know, I'm always thankful for an extra day. So having a shorter work week is definitely something I'm appreciative of. So
yes, and for sure, there's no doubt about it. I think the three other things we can have you do. I mean, rock climbing has to be up there for sure.
Sure.
It's just a shame that Jordan Phillips didn't commit to Michigan. We can't have that that rock climb off with you and him that
we had planned
all those months ago. We'll have to find somebody else. Maybe Kenneth Grant, if he joins the fold here, can get him to do some rock climbing with you. And I don't know. We'll just find it. You're just like the pure athlete. You run, you do rock climbing, you do all these tough modern. I mean, you do it all, Steven. So, we'll have to figure that out later on when more commits join the fold here. But
we'll start with the Maize and Brew triathlon or something and figure out where we rank amongst the staff.
Yeah.
And then go from there.
Yeah. I think you and I don't know. I feel like Trevor Woods would be up there for sure.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Trevor's an athlete. I don't know. I feel like I could hold my own. I think I could do okay. Anthony would probably do pretty well. He's a lean, mean athlete. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like all these ideas just go nowhere and they don't end up ever being anything, but that's okay because it's a football recruiting podcast and that's what we're going to stick with today. And let's just hop right into it. Speaking of football recruiting, we've got a big game this weekend. If you guys haven't noticed or haven't heard any of that, Michigan is playing Washington this Saturday at the Big House, primetime, 8 o'clock kick on ABC, the primetime game of the week. And it's sure to bring a lot of eyeballs to the TV. And it's a maze out. So there's going to be a lot of at least 100,000 plus in attendance, rocking the Maize shirts, Maize jerseys, all that stuff. And among the people inside the Big House this Saturday are going to be a lot of really important pieces to what could be Michigan football's recruiting class in 2022. And we're just going to roll through these guys today, the 22 guys, because this is a star-studded lineup, in my opinion. I would imagine this will probably be the top visitors list for any game day this season. It's just bringing a ton of top talent, a lot of top targets on their board that they may not be able to get on campus again, because some of these are going to be officials. A couple of these are going to be unofficials. Let's start with one of the unofficials. And that's right at the top, the number one ranked overall player in the 22 class. And that is five-star defensive lineman Walter Nolan at 6'4", 325 from the state of Tennessee. Like I said, he's number one overall in this class, number one defensive lineman. This could be his third time in Ann Arbor. He came once in the spring and then took his official visit back in June for Victor's weekend, which was, again, another star-studded lineup this offseason for the Maize and Blue. So, Steven, I mean, we've talked about Walter Nolan extensively on this podcast. I don't think we need to talk too much about him specifically, but it's obviously important that he and his family are getting back to Ann Arbor, get to see the game day atmosphere. And I think the key part here is that he's going to be able to see Michigan Stadium at its very best under the lights, 8 p.m. kickoff. It's probably going to be a full house at the big house. These are the types of things that could make or break a recruitment. Now, I still expect, even if they roll out the red carpet, everything goes well, Michigan wins 1,000-0, I still expect Walter Nolan to wind up somewhere in the SEC. But if all of those things happen, you at least set yourself up pretty nicely and at least get considered at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I have an active bet, I think, on a live stream where I would give $50 to a random person on stream if Walter Nolan committed to Michigan. So if that gives you any stance on where my mindset is on where Walter Nolan will end up, that should give you a little bit of an idea. I mean, in late August, he put out a top three of Georgia, Tennessee, and A&M. So it's a little bit interesting because he does have an official visit lined up to Alabama in early November. So it's one of those things where, is he just taking these official visits to take them? Are these other schools potentially still in that mix despite making that top three? I mean, only Walter Nolan probably knows that. But you're right. The thing for Michigan is just don't leave any page unturned. Is that a phrase?
Sure, but it is now. But
do everything that you possibly can in your power to show him what Michigan has to offer. You mentioned he's been to campus a couple of times, so he's getting a good feel of that. The only missing piece now, you know, he has the relationships, has different members of the class, both staff and players. He has those relationships built, get a sense of his family and their opinions on campus. The only thing missing is the game day atmosphere. And really the night game against a Power Five opponent in the year after a global pandemic. I mean, you don't get much more electric of an environment than that. So, I mean, we'll talk about that, I think, in length with most of these other guys as well. But this isn't going to be a case where it's like, man, why didn't Michigan go, you know, all out for a guy of this caliber? Like, it's clear they're doing that. And it's just a matter of how much does that resonate. And I think we're in agreement that it's probably not going to change a whole lot, but all you can do is try. And, you know, if the girl doesn't choose you to go to prom, then what are you going to do? I think that's the second week in a row I made some prom reference. I don't know. I'm watching Friday Night Lights with my wife. So maybe that's bringing some weirdness to this, but I'll stop talking. That's where I'm at with Walter Nolan. You gotta do what you gotta do, get him on campus and roll out the red carpet. Michigan's doing that.
Absolutely. I completely agree with all of that. You gotta at least try with the elite talents, especially if they've been receptive to you so far. Walter Nolan has family in the Detroit area. And that's kind of been one thing that has really set Michigan apart from these other schools is that family aspect. So we'll see if this game day turns out to end up helping Michigan's chances in the long run. I don't think it will, but we'll see at the very least. They got to take a swing. Another player that they're going to take a swing at is another five-star talent on defense in the 22 class, and that is cornerback Damani Jackson. 6'1", 185, number 5 overall player in the class, the number 2 cornerback, has been committed to USC since January and has not wavered from that commitment since. He attends Mater Dei High School in California, powerhouse school that Christian Dixon from the 2021 class, wide receiver, 4-star, came from to Michigan from, and he's actually going to be out for the rest of the season at Mater Dei with an injury to his knee. Just unfortunate that one of the elite talents in the class athletically had that happen for his senior season. Ran a 10.25 100 meter dash back in June, and back in 2019 had recorded a 4.51 40 time. So, like I said, just an athletic freak in this 22 class. Also had visited Alabama this summer. So even though he is committed to USC, Stephen, I don't know. I feel like he is locked in, but maybe not as much as originally thought. And it sounds like he's going to visit Alabama again later on for a game day down in Tuscaloosa. So he's going to get one at Michigan. He's going to get one at Alabama. I would assume he probably goes to USC at least once for at least one game. So I don't know. I feel like this is one of those recruitments that it's been kind of weird, right? Like he's been committed. He is actively recruited for USC's class. And although he does have a solid relationship with Will Johnson and some of these other players committed to Michigan in this 22 class, it doesn't really seem like he's ever legitimately thought about decommitting and flipping his commitment somewhere else. Even though he did visit Alabama over the summer, nothing really came out of that. And he's still been committed to USC, but he's going to take this visit to Ann Arbor. He's going to take the visit to Alabama. And much like with Walter Nolan, Stephen, you kind of just got to swing for the fences and see where it lands.
Yeah, especially when you're going to have a guy like Will Johnson on campus as well. We talked at length about their relationship, how much it seemed like they were going to be a package deal. So, I mean, if you're asking me between Damani Jackson, you didn't ask me, Vaughn, but I'm going to pretend you did. If it's between Damani Jackson and Walter Nolan, who would be the guy who would potentially flip, it would probably be Damani Jackson.
I agree.
But again, it's a pipe dream at this point, but that 10.25 PR, man, I watched a lot of Olympics this summer, and that is a respectable time. That's like what some of those guys were like sniffing around that time at the Olympics. So like that speed is tantalizing. So it hurts to see. One interesting thing, you mentioned the Alabama visit lined up this fall, early November, same time that Walter Nolan is going to be visiting Alabama as well. So it's interesting that both Nolan and Jackson will be on campus at the same time at Michigan as well as Alabama. So you're right, where usually you'll see some smoke if there's a guy committed. Seems like a pretty hard commit to USC for Damani Jackson. You usually see smoke. So if there was any sort of wavering, you would think that an official visit to the Crimson Tide this summer would have elicited that smoke to her eyes. But I'm not, you know, you mentioned we didn't really see that. So yeah. Again, it's a thing where no one should be upset at how Michigan approached either of these recruitments. These guys have every offer under the sun, and in Damani Jackson's son, it appears to be setting a little later than what he would like, if you get what I'm saying there.
Oh yeah,
he wants to stay on the West Coast there, but
I like that. That's nice.
But yeah. So we'll see, man. Again, it's just do what you can, control what you can, and the atmosphere that'll be in Ann Arbor on Saturday night is the best case scenario for any recruit, just because it'll probably still be a little bit warm. And you know, everything I mentioned, it's going to be as loud and as energetic of an atmosphere as you can put in front of a recruit. So I like the attempt here, but it's just that it's an attempt. Mm-hmm. And in my confidence is probably less than a 5% chance.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree with you in saying that if between Nolan and Jackson, I do think Jackson would probably be the player to flip his commitment, even though Nolan's not technically committed anywhere. But you get what I'm saying. I do agree that Jackson is probably more likely to wind up in Michigan's class than Walter Nolan, despite Jackson being committed and Nolan not being committed. That I guess that goes to show how little confidence I have in Walter Nolan winding up in Ann Arbor. But at the end of the day, I don't think either of those players do. I think this is more so a fun trip for Damani to take. You know, he's not going to be able to play at all his senior season, unfortunately, because of that knee injury. So you might as well go and take some game day visits, especially a star-studded lineup with the recruits. And then this is probably going to be one of Michigan's bigger home games of the season. Why not come out for one of the early season ones when the weather is still going to be as nice as it's going to be on Saturday. Now, in terms of this game specifically against Washington, I don't think there's really any argument to be made that it couldn't be more important for the recruitment of this incoming player here that's going to be visiting for the first time officially. This is going to be his official visit to Michigan, and that's five-star offensive lineman Joshua Connerly. He's from the West Coast, from Seattle, number 20 overall talent in the class, number 3 at the offensive tackle position. He is 6'5", 275, listed on 24/7 Sports. Also high on Washington, along with Alabama, Oregon, Texas, and Oklahoma, just to name a few, but he has the who's who's list of college football offers. Like I said, this will be his official visit to Ann Arbor, so any other potential trip that he takes to Michigan will have to be out of his family's pocket. He is listed on both the All-American Bowl roster and the Polynesian Bowl roster, and that doesn't happen very often, so he is definitely one of the elite talents in this class. And like I said, Steven, I really do think that in terms of not only just the outcome of this game because it's against Washington, but because it kind of is at a position of need along the offensive line. They've got two guys committed, but both guys aren't ranked very high. Both guys are projects. And I think Connerly is one of those guys that you could probably insert him in some way as a freshman, kind of like how they did with Zach Zinter last year because of how highly talented he was. I think Connerly is another one of those kinds of players to where you could get him some action early on and then really insert him into the lineup his sophomore season. The other two guys that they got, I think it's going to take a red shirt and then maybe another couple of years to get them on the field. So Connerly, I think he is as important as any of these recruits that is going to be visiting Ann Arbor this weekend. And they just, I can't understate it enough how important this recruitment is for this game. This is one of those games with this Connerly recruitment that you would just want Michigan to win 100-0 and have a dominant offensive line game like they did last weekend against Western, really put it to a Power 5 team. And the fact that it's Washington, another school that Connerly is very high on, it's so important in so many different ways in this recruitment here, Steven.
Yeah, it's always super interesting when you have a guy who's maybe the primary competition for Michigan is that team that he's visiting Michigan against. I don't know if I said that correctly, but you know what I mean. Washington, yep, is the presumed leader, two crystal balls to the home state Huskies there. And it's usually something where I say a single game won't really affect a recruitment. And I think I do keep that opinion in terms of the outcome as a whole. But within the context, I think you nailed it. If you're winning a blowout and you're just absolutely blowing the doors off of that team, that's going to have an effect because that speaks more to the trend of that program. If they are seemingly on different tiers, you know, if it's a 31-28 victory and both teams look pretty good or pretty bad, then it's going to be something where it's like, okay, these are essentially similar programs. Where if it's a 49-7 game, it's like, whoa, Michigan's headed in a different direction than Washington, for better or for worse, right? And then I think that the main thing outside of just the outcome and the context of that outcome is the atmosphere. That's something where he's going to be comparing the atmosphere that a Michigan crowd provides versus that of his home state Washington Huskies there. So that's the biggest thing. And that's what I think has me most excited. And in terms of all of these recruitment, I think you're right, where the outcome of the game will affect Connerly the most. And then, I mean, in terms of his skill set, he's 6'5", which I was like, man, is he really a tackle? But then he has close to like a 6'10 plus wingspan, which is just incredible.
It's insane.
Yeah, he has a basketball background. He was a running back in youth football. And I mean, that really shows itself in his film. He has that bend you're looking for. He pulls extremely well. And he's a guy who looks like he's closer to 240 than he's listed, what, like 275 or 280. So truly, truly an athlete, where it's usually one of these guys you expect to be like a tight end that you mold into this sort of athletic tackle. He's already an athletic tackle. And that's the difference between getting one of those guys who are maybe in the 400 to 600 range as a tight end that needs to bulk up, and what Josh Connerly is, which is 20 overall, five-star offensive tackle. So, of anyone else on this list, I think you nailed it. The need on the current 2022 recruiting board screams high-profile offensive linemen. You just need bodies at that position, and he's one that you could plug in a pinch in year one, I think, but then there's just not a whole lot of development needed. He's got the size, got the body, got the athleticism. Is just a matter of keeping him healthy. And I don't think he's, there's any concern there. So yeah, it's exciting. It's my favorite thing when I'm watching a game, and if Michigan's beating the brakes out of a team, which I think they have potential to do, knock on wood, this Saturday, thinking about Josh Connerly in the back of your mind, like, what's that guy thinking in the stands, you know? And that's a fun little back of the mind, thing to keep fresh, during the game.
It really is. I've admittedly, I have thought about that when I've been to Michigan Stadium over the last few years, and they have been blowing out whoever it was that they were playing that day. The one that I specifically remember was the game against SMU, when they really just started laying it to the Mustangs, and Daxton Hill was the star recruit at Michigan Stadium that day. And in the back of my mind, I was like, man, this must be nice for Daxton to see this, and ended up going well for Michigan in that one. Another important position that they're going after is linebacker. And I would say this is probably their top target remaining at the linebacker position. That's four-star Lander Barton. And we've talked about him plenty, oddly enough, because he hasn't visited and his recruitment has been pretty quiet. But I guess that just goes to show how important of a recruit he is. Listed at 6'4", 215. He's number 269 overall on the 24/7 Sports Composite, the number 29 linebacker from the state of Utah in Salt Lake City. And much like all other players from that region, specifically the state of Utah, he is very high on Utah. I saw a couple crystal balls to Utah when I was checking out his profile earlier today. He's also high on Texas, and he is planning a trip to Texas on September 24th. So that will be another team to keep an eye on. He's got other offers from the likes of LSU, Oregon, USC, Notre Dame, UCLA, Washington. I mean, the list is just ongoing for him. It definitely seems like he has an offer sheet that is for a higher prospect that is ranked 269 overall on the composite. But I don't know, we'll see how his senior season plays out and see if it goes up at all. But this will be his first visit to Ann Arbor. So it's probably going to be a one and done for him. He hasn't really taken a whole lot of visits. I don't know if he's taken any visits this summer at all. And this will for sure be his first to Ann Arbor. Could very well be his last before he ends up committing to whatever program he commits to. So in my opinion, Steven, this is a pretty important one too. They've been going after a lot of linebackers in this class. They kind of want to revamp the position moving forward under Mike McDonald. They'd offer a ton of guys in this 22 class when the new defensive coaches came to Ann Arbor, and they've offered a ton more in the 23 class. So this is certainly a position that they're looking to hone in on, and Barton is among the top talents remaining at that position in this class.
Yeah, for sure. He's an interesting prospect because of where I see his potential fit. He reminds me a little bit of David Ojabo and the role that he fills. I was trying to think if he did fill kind of the Aiden Hutchinson, Braden McGregor role. I think he's a little bit too slight for that. He has a lot of film at wide receiver, making excellent plays. He plays a lot more like a jumbo safety right now rather than a true linebacker. What I mean by that in the positive is that he operates in space extremely well, very comfortable in pass coverage. He can get to the flats really quickly and then change direction and make a hit on a pass out of the backfield, for example, a running back leaking out. He can really lay a lick on those guys in those scenarios. And that's where I want him the most, operating in space. Takes good angles. His acceleration there, I think it was play three or four in this film, I was like, whoa, because he does have sideline to sideline speed. Things I'm missing are some of the like linebacker skill sets you would expect. Stack and shed, don't really know. Operating on the interior, reading, reading guards or the offensive line and going off of his keys there between the tackles and making a tackle on a running back coming through the line of scrimmage. That's something that just doesn't really show up on film because it's not really something he's been asked to do. So we'll see. I don't see him as like a Nakai Hill Green type of guy. You know, I think mentioning David Ojabo, that's where he really shines. Give him space. Get him blitzing off of the edge, use that acceleration, change of direction. And I think he can bulk up to around 240, 250 relatively quickly and use that skill set really well. So it's interesting, all these names, and we'll keep coming across them. It seems like Texas is a common name that comes up. So I don't know if Michigan's kind of following Texas's recruiting board here or if it's just a coincidence, but Utah won't go away, but I think Michigan's poised really well. And the better that guys like Aiden Hutchinson or Ojabo feature in this defense, you know, under a new coordinator, that'll help, I think, get Lander Barton on board and kind of the vision that Michigan is pitching to him at this point.
Yeah, for sure. And it does seem like they have recruited a lot of the same guys that Texas has in this recruiting cycle. I think some of that may have been because of Mo Linguist back when he was around. They're definitely going after a lot of Texas guys back then. Lander Barton just happens to be one of those guys from the West Coast that those Longhorns, they do want to get to commit to their class as well. But I think this is an important visit as well. It'll likely be the only visit he takes to Michigan. So it'll be important for the Wolverines to really show him a good time, roll out that red carpet for him too, because I would anticipate he was probably among those guys that are close to the top of the list for the remaining targets in this class. Let's move on to a target that has kind of popped up recently over the last couple months, and that is three-star athlete Amorian Walker, and he can play either defensive back or wide receiver. He's listed at 6'4". 175. He is number 541 overall on the composite, the number 41 athlete from the state of Louisiana. He is currently committed to Notre Dame and has been committed to the Irish since March of this year. But kind of like Domani Jackson, he's made a couple visits to some other schools over the summer. He visited Alabama, he visited LSU, Ole Miss, and he even visited Michigan for the barbecue at the Big House. So this will not be his first time in Ann Arbor. And he can really be a force on both sides of the ball because of that combination of size and speed that he has. At 6'4", 175, you wouldn't expect him to run a 4.440 time, but that is exactly what he did at a camp in Alabama back in June. That's when he visited Tuscaloosa, and that's when he received his offer from Alabama, and not long after that is when all these other schools started creeping into his recruitment. And obviously Notre Dame is really hoping to hang on to him because, like I said, he can be a force at defensive back or at wide receiver. It kind of seems like it's up in the air where Michigan's recruiting him at, because they got both Ron Bellamy and Josh Gattis in this recruitment here. So I feel like they're probably pitching him both sides of the ball at this point. And we'll talk about wide receiver in the next segment here, but I feel like they probably more so want him at wide receiver. I think that would probably be the better spot for him at the end of the day. If you've got a guy that can run a 4.440 time and he's at 6'4", I want him running downfield, going up for a jump ball, 50-50 ball into the end zone. I want that Nico Collins type of player, a split out on the outside. I would rather have him there than at safety. That's for sure. So again, I feel like this one probably isn't as important as a Barton or a Connerly, but at the position that they're recruiting him at, whether it's wide receiver, defensive back. You can always use another defensive back or two, especially in Michigan's class right now. They've got three corners. Don't really have any safeties. I guess it depends where you end up slotting Cody Jones at. But at wide receiver, I mean, he can be a really, really nice prospect. That he's only 541 on the composite, but with a good senior season, I would anticipate that going up with that 4.4 40 time. So again, this is another guy that you would gladly take and just find out where to play him at later down the road.
Yeah, it's a guy where you look at his ranking, you look at the Bama offer, and you're like, okay, is he a second tier, kind of a wait and see type of dude? Then you add the context of you mentioned the 4.4 40. He had a 40 inch vertical at a camp, and at that camp, he got offered by Bama. That makes you feel a lot more that this is a guy where Alabama's like, okay, something, like they just missed the boat on this guy, right? Because he was injured last year. So in terms of getting his film out there, add in the pandemic, it makes sense that a guy like this would slip through the cracks. Thing that popped out on film to me was how jittery he was even at that size. Because when you see 6'4", and the coach was talking up that he was, you know, apparently a pretty good DB. This was before I watched film, and I was like, man, how many 6'4" guys are really good defensive backs? But then the initial kick return on his film, you know, he had that sort of jitteriness that you're looking at. And then, you know, fair enough, on his defensive film, he can flip his hips pretty damn well for a guy of that size. So you add all that in. Add in the speed. He can catch away from his body, and there's no reason that a guy with that frame, that size, and that speed shouldn't be a top 100 guy. I mean, he even had some routes that he flashed as well. Primarily, he was used as a fly route technician, you know, just run fast and we'll get you the ball. But he does have the ability to do a good out route. He can decelerate really well, and that kind of goes towards his defensive back skills. In addition to that. So it's a guy where, you know, you look at his offers, they don't line up with his ranking. Seems like that commitment is maybe a little bit soft. And I think I'm with you where, because of his versatility, because it seems less of like a, you know, this is a guy who's a second tier offer. It seems like Michigan would accept his commitment and figure it out later. And it's not something where it's just like, well, let's throw our hat in the ring here. With the amount of guys that are going after him, Ron Bellamy, Josh Gattis, Klingscale, they're really going all out for him. And I think that's a smart move when you have a guy who shows out at a Bama summer camp and appears to be a take by a lot of top programs now. So yeah, I mean, what else can you say? You mentioned the speed at 6'4". You figure it out later. I think I would like to see what he can do as like a maybe a safety, like a nickelback, because I think that's pretty interesting. Now, I don't know what he looks like to hit, but you start him out at wide receiver because of that speed. You mentioned like a jump ball scenario. That's pretty tantalizing. But I think it's smart to have guys on both sides of the ball talking to him to give him sort of the option on what he's interested in. And Michigan can have those coaches aligned to best pitch him, whatever that direction may be.
Yeah. And it's good that they've got Bellamy on him as well, because Walker's from the state of Louisiana. Bellamy's from the state of Louisiana. It's just a match made in heaven with recruiting him at that point. I think this is a very interesting recruit that can really flourish on either side of the ball. You certainly take him and figure it out later. And yeah, I think this is certainly a different one compared to Damani Jackson, to where Walker's committed to Notre Dame. And like you had mentioned, kind of seems like a soft commitment at this point, because Damani Jackson, when he committed to USC, he was a known commodity. He's been a five-star the entire time. Walker, on the other hand, he's still a three-star, number 541 overall, then just started to get all of these bigger offers down in his region where he's from. He's got the LSU one now. He's got Alabama, Ole Miss, and then Michigan came in with their offer as well. So I think his commitment to Notre Dame is softer than Jackson's is to USC. I think being able to flip Walker, it's a very attainable thing. I think if they get him in on this visit and they just blow him away, I think a flip could happen. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but they got to make sure that they roll out the red carpet for him as well. Show him a good time and we'll just see what happens from there. You kind of just go from there. The final recruit here that we'll talk about, it kind of goes back to Connerly in terms of importance, although he's not as highly ranked or highly regarded as Connerly, but this could be another important recruit down the road as well. And this is three-star offensive lineman, Mark Nabu. He is 6'4", 330. He's number 692 overall on the composite, the number 31 interior offensive lineman. He's also from Seattle. Now, he doesn't play with Connerly. They play at different schools, but I would imagine that they are probably very familiar with each other. A couple other schools that he is high on, Washington, which is another reason why this game and visit is so important for this recruitment as well. Also high on Texas, who we've talked about with Lander Barton, USC, and Texas A&M. Now, this won't be Nabu's first visit to Ann Arbor. He visited back in June, so this will be an unofficial visit. And I want to say that the visit back in June was also unofficial. So if he wants, he can come back on an official if the coaches there would want him to, which I would anticipate they probably would. Now, the interesting aspect here, Stephen, is that, the importance with Washington, he once was committed to the Washington Huskies, and he decommitted from Washington the day after visiting Michigan back in June. So I don't know, man. I mean, to me, it seems like this could be a two-horse race between Michigan and Washington. And I feel like a lot of, I guess the result of this game could have a lot of implications on this recruitment moving forward and potentially wherever he ends up in college. Now, obviously he has USC as well, Texas, Texas A&M. Those are some schools that he's very high on. But I feel like at this point, Michigan, Washington are probably duking it out for his services in this game. Like with Connerly, it's going to be a very important one in determining the trajectory of wherever this recruitment ends up going.
Yeah, trajectory is a great word for this too, because as you mentioned, when did he decommit after a visit to Michigan? And that's something where it made him reevaluate things, right? I think that's pretty reasonable to say, given those actions after visiting a different school, and that's understandable. So he still does have the one crystal ball to Washington, but you mentioned A&M is probably the other school in that mix. But I think he is appropriately ranked around 700 overall. He's a good fit for Michigan, I think, because of the lack of interior guys on Michigan's list. So I think definitely need to add bodies if you're the Wolverines at that position for the 2022 class. I think a good aspect of this as well, we mentioned a lot of other guys who are maybe some stretches, especially Walter Nolan, Damani Jackson. Connerly is, maybe not as big of a reach, but still a super high profile guy who's getting a ton of attention elsewhere. With Mark Nabu, he's a guy who Michigan can probably get. I don't want to say it's someone that it's a guarantee at this point, but of the guys, the names that we've mentioned thus far, you want at least one of those to be on the right trajectory. I'll bring up that word again, to start kind of talking about seeing themselves at Michigan. Someone who can say like, yeah, I can see myself being here, right? And being in that group of other guys from the West Coast. Think about what that does to have another guy from the state of Washington be saying that in the middle of a visit. So that's something where having a guy like Nabu on the visit, not only does he fit a position of need, I think, there's no question about his size. You'll need to get him a little bit in shape. He definitely does look 330 pounds around his size there. So he's definitely going to be a run blocker first. I liked his ability to pull even at that size, but it's going to take a bit of time to get him up to speed. I think his athleticism maybe isn't at the top, but if he can get down to around 310 or so, I think he can really put things together. But I'm more excited because, like I said, the positional fit for Michigan's needs in this class, as well as the trajectory and what he'll be saying to these other similarly regionally located recruits that are also going to be on this visit. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I'm excited for all of that. I mean, this is a big, big weekend, not just for recruiting, but for the game itself. And it's going to be very fun to monitor all of these. Now, I actually just saw a tweet here, Stephen, that now I know we weren't going to talk about 23, but I do want to bring him up because he is probably among the top targets on Michigan's 23 board. And that's Jaylen Brown, the five-star wide receiver from Miami at 6'1", 170. So he's going to be visiting as well. He had tweeted that not long ago saying that he'll be in the big house this weekend and it's going to be a great experience. And he tagged JJ McCarthy in that tweet. So McCarthy's recruiting prowess continues, I guess, as a member of the Maize and Blue. Who would have thought one touchdown pass could potentially go a long way with his career and with recruiting as well. So we'll certainly see how things play out. And I would imagine that a lot of commits are going to be at this game as well. I would imagine Will Johnson. I know for sure Micah Pollard is going to be there. And it seems like the star-studded lineup will just grow as this week goes on. And I would anticipate a lot of commits being there, kind of like how the 21 class was pretty much all gathered for the Wisconsin game last year. I feel like this is probably going to be one of those games that a lot of the commits come to town for this game against Washington. So I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see coming out of this weekend how the game goes, how these visits go with these recruits, because we really haven't seen a whole lot of action in this 22 class in quite some time, Stephen. So it's going to be really interesting to see if they make any traction with any of these guys. Now, Walter Nolan, Damani Jackson, I don't think they're going to make much traction, if any, for those guys. But some of these other guys, they certainly can. These recruitments are up in the air. So hopefully you bring your best to the game and you kind of just take a swing and see what happens. So I'll give you the final word and then we'll move on.
Yep. A lot of fans would say this isn't Michigan's most important game on the schedule. Actually, I think many would probably rank this quite a bit lower now that Washington lost to an FCS team last week.
Yeah.
But in terms of, and I mean that strictly for the Michigan team title hopes, whether that be Big Ten title, playoff hopes, there's little implications on either of those with a loss here. You can still make up ground on either of those. But in terms of recruiting, you're not going to find a better game for Michigan to go all out with their pitches. So in terms of Michigan not laying an egg, this is the week to not lay an egg. It's one thing to lose, you know, a 31-21 game that's close or something like that. The wheels can't fall off. The wheels fall off. And not only is the season looking tough, but this is the star-studded lineup that you are rolling out for your top recruits. Mm. And similar to what you were saying last year, when you have a lot of commits on campus, that's the one thing you don't want to do, because if you're getting blown out, that's going to have a stronger impression than anything else. And with a giant crowd like we can expect at a night game in Ann Arbor, that's kind of the last thing you want. So there's a lot on the line, man. Maybe not for, you know, Big Ten hopes, things like that, but you gotta set yourself on the right foot with these guys and you know, at least be competitive. But I think Michigan is in a good spot to not lay an egg, and I'm knocking on wood for the next 7 days, or what are we, four days away already? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's creeping up on us, man. Yeah. Knock on all the wood, cross all your fingers, do your rain dance, you know, whatever it is. hope all things go well in all of these endeavors here. So, all right, great. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about wide receiver recruiting in the wake of Ronnie Bell's injury. That's going to keep him out for the rest of the season. But first, let's talk about home field. We've been blasting this promo at you for a very long time now, and I'm just going to remind you again how home field is the premium collegiate apparel brand based out of Indianapolis. Not only is their stuff comfortable, but it is officially licensed gear. So they do not screw around when it comes to their designs. And the team over at home field, study every school's history, traditions, legacies, and with all of that, they create thoughtful designs that tell the unique story of each university. And they've got some really cool original Michigan designs that you will not find anywhere else, whether it's t-shirts, crew necks, whatever you want, they've got it. So if you're looking for some of that vintage apparel, look no further than Homefield and use that promo code MNB and you'll get 20% off the entirety of your first order. If you're looking to get some Maze apparel for the Maze out this weekend, it's probably a little too late for Homefield. You probably should have done that a week or two ago. But if you want some for the next Maze out, go to homefieldapparel.com. Use that 20% off promo code MNB again at checkout, and you'll get 20% off your entire first order. So head over to homefieldapparel.com, start shopping today.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. We are going to end today's podcast on a bit of a somber note, I suppose, because last weekend, I'm sure you all saw the game. Michigan wide receiver Ronnie Bell was injured after a punt return in the first half. I never really got a good look at what exactly happened, Stephen, because the TV angle was a little strange. I didn't get a great look, but needless to say, it's a season ending knee injury for Ronnie Bell. It's so unfortunate too, because he was having a really nice game against Western Michigan before the injury and was really setting himself up to have a great senior season, potentially get drafted into the 2022 NFL draft. You know, I said on the podcast a couple weeks ago that I thought Ronnie Bell would test the NFL waters while Daylon Baldwin would return for another season at Michigan, which would, in that scenario, leave Michigan with just one receiver gone after this season. And obviously with Bell's injury, things have kind of changed because of that. And now I don't really know if any Michigan wide receiver leaves Ann Arbor after this season. And because of that, I feel like things could potentially change for Michigan's recruiting strategy at the wide receiver position in this 2022 class. They got two guys committed, four-star Tyler Morris, three-star in-stater Tayshaun Trent, two very different receivers. Trent is more of a big-bodied possession guy, while Morris is a speedster who can, I mean, in my opinion, at least kind of line up anywhere, whether it be the slot or on the outside. So I don't know, Steven, I wanted to ask you this question because it is kind of curious in my mind. Do you think that Michigan at this point, if you assume that Ronnie Bell comes back next season after his knee injury, and I'm just assuming at this point that Baldwin still stays in Ann Arbor, it seems like they've got some guys a little bit higher on the depth chart at this point, because it did take Baldwin a little bit to get on the field last week. So with all of that in consideration, Stephen, do you think Michigan is set with the two guys that they have now that Bell is pretty much guaranteed in my mind to come back for another year, or would you still like them to continue recruiting other guys and take a third guy regardless? We talked about Amorian Walker in the last segment. He could be a potential wide receiver candidate for this class. So what do you think?
I think the best approach would probably be to wait, because I think I'm on the same page with you in terms of Ronnie Bell. It probably makes the most sense for him to come back, but honestly, we don't know. Maybe he thinks he's ready. If he can test well, and heal quickly, you know, maybe he'll be able to sneak into the latter half of the draft. I think it's too early to tell. You're not going to have those discussions with Ronnie Bell for a bit. if you're the staff. So they're not really going to know what the direction is going to be at this point in terms of what the numbers will look like. I do think the numbers in general will be a bit high, right? I think it was kind of a shock to have like a Giles Jackson transfer out of the program. I think that's just going to happen regardless of how many guys you take. I think there's just not enough snaps to go around. We saw that with Zach Charbonnet. So regardless, I think the situation will figure itself out because now with the transfer portal, it's much easier for those playmakers to find a suitable location if they're not favorably looking at the depth chart ahead of them. So I do think Michigan should be good with the two guys that they have, Tayshaun Trent, Tyler Morris. If they're going to take another guy, I think Amorian Walker is the mold of that you're looking for, a guy that you can recruit as either a wide receiver or defensive back, give some positional variability there. Even if their primary position is probably wide receiver, giving yourself that level of flexibility, I think just helps a little bit more, because then if it is a log jam, it's not something where it's like, well, you're a wide receiver and you're out of luck, right? You can feasibly shift them over if need be. And I think that's kind of what you have with Walker. And I think that makes the most sense moving forward. So we'll see. I think Ronnie Bell could get drafted even without this season. I think he has enough on film. So while it might be a shock if he does go, I think Michigan would love to have him back. You don't have a guy who's your leading receiver 2 years in a row and just say sayonara to the guy. He's a captain. There's just so many things in favor of Ronnie Bell being back next year. So in terms of the approach, I think Michigan's in a good spot with the two commits they do have. You might see like an additional, like a transfer if Ronnie Bell comes back, just because, you know, it's the nature of the beast. Sometimes things happen and people come back when you think that they would be gone after a promising season. And unfortunately, that promising season was taken away by Ronnie Bell in game one, right? And this might be a different discussion if it's game six and Ronnie Bell was showing out this year. So there are these things where it's just like, you know, the staff had a plan and then this throws a wrench in it. And I think the numbers are still fine with Tayshaun Trent and Tyler Morris, but it's going to get crowded. So I would just recruit athletes that give you some positional variability and kind of go with that approach until you learn more about where Ronnie Bell's at. And if there's any other, you know, potential shakeup at the position from other guys on the depth chart, maybe looking to transfer after this season, you get those rumblings throughout the season sometimes. So I think you're in wait and see, but in general, go after some athletes.
Yeah. It's interesting because I am in favor of, if they're going to recruit any other guys, Walker would be that guy that I would kind of be all in for. The other two that they're recruiting at the wide receiver position are four-star Dane Key, who they offered back in June. He is from the state of Kentucky, Lexington specifically. And then Cody Hagan is the other guy that they are actively recruiting. They offered him back in July. He's from the state of Utah. Both these guys are just pure wide receivers, and they're both talented at the wide receiver position. Obviously, Key being a four-star, and Cody Hagan is a four-star on 24/7. On the composite, It looks, to my naked eye at least, it looks like he's probably a fringe four-star, but he's in three-star range at this point. But he's very fast. He's a 10.52 100-meter time. So I would certainly take that. He's at 6'1", 175. Dane Key is 6'2", 170. So both talented guys at the wide receiver position. But I'm with you. I would much rather them take a guy that you can kind of just experiment with, whether it's at wide receiver or defensive back, kind of just wait it out, get them on campus, try them out at both spots, and then just figure it out from there. Because I do think that Bell probably could still test the NFL waters, like you had mentioned, but I think it's probably a thing kind of like Aiden Hutchinson last year, right? He played the first couple games, got injured, came back. He didn't want to leave on that bad note of not being able to have another shot at Ohio State because they didn't play him last year because of the COVID issues. And obviously you don't want to leave Michigan, with you being a Michigan legacy, leave them at 2-4 with the bad season that they had. Obviously, it's different because he is a Michigan legacy. His dad went to Michigan. Ronnie Bell didn't have any ties to the university, but he's a captain, and it really seems like he loves the university. He loves his teammates, loves his coaches, and has really loved his experience of being that underdog two-star that has eventually built his way to being the top wide receiver on the depth chart at Michigan, especially given that he was kind of in a crowded room at one point with Nico Collins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and he's still always been that steady force at wide receiver for Michigan. I would be kind of surprised if he left. Now, I say that in knowing in the back of my mind that, yeah, he probably could, you know, go to the NFL combine and probably do pretty well and eventually get drafted. But I just think that it's probably going to end up being he comes back. And I do think that Daylon Baldwin will come back. So at this point, I think they're pretty set with the two receivers they have. But I'm with you 100% that if you're going to go get another one, go get an athlete. Go get an Amorian Walker at 6'4", a buck 75 that runs an insanely fast 40 time that you can just put on the outside and just have them go 2-4 verticals like on NCAA 14. You like that reference? It brought that up 2 weeks in a row too, Steven.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's what I've got on that. Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up? Because I feel like this is a pretty easy scenario for Michigan at this point. Kind of just, you know, you can recruit all those guys if you want to. And then if you end up missing on those three, in my opinion, it's kind of a big whoop and you can go after some other positions that you need more greatly in this 22 class.
Yeah, I think you more reach for the stars now, right? You can go for a top flight sort of athlete type, 4-star, 5-star, even though I think Amarian Walker is 541st overall. He's a guy who's likely closer to, you know, he's getting Bama interest. So you can go for guys that have kind of Bama interest and that's your primary competition because you're kind of set at the position. So with a reach, it's kind of like, you know, if you get them, great. If not, we're going to be okay. So I'm with you. I think I'm probably 75% Bell would come back, 25% he would go to the NFL at this point. But we'll see, man. I just hope we get to see him one more time in a Wolverine uniform at some point.
Yeah, I agree, man. I was so bummed when I saw that because it didn't look good coming off the field with him limping and then having to get carted away. It was a sad situation. Still is sad. And he's one of those guys that, you know, you just love, people love an underdog story, man. I mean, especially with Ronnie Bell, didn't really have any football offers. He was going to go to Kansas State to play basketball, I believe, and then got the offer from Michigan. And obviously he has been one of those real fine recruits that, you know, it, like kind of like Hassan Haskins. He was a low 3-star, ended up being just a completely different player than what you would anticipate him when he was coming out of high school, especially with Hassan being linebacker at first and then transitioning to running back. But yeah, just one of those stories that it's just so sad, and it's going to have an impact on the team this year and could have an impact on the recruiting trail with what we've all talked about here. And yeah, you certainly hope that not only that he recovers fully, but that you get to see him on the field once again for the Maize and Blue at some point. So Steven, any final thoughts before we wrap up here today, man?
Nope. Beat Washington. I'll be there.
I will be there as well. And I've got my Maize shirt picked out. In fact, it's the only Maize shirt that I have. So there we go. I've always been a blue. If I get anything Michigan, it's always been blue. I do have a couple gray Michigan hoodies as well, but I've got the one Maize shirt that I will be rocking on September 11th, this Saturday at 8:00. I don't know where I'm sitting at, but hopefully we got good seats. But yeah, it should be a great atmosphere. I'm looking forward to it. First Michigan game since 2019. I'm excited to be at a packed big house again. It's been far too long. I am greatly looking forward to it. So where you got any good tailgating plans, Steven?
We'll see. I'm still trying to figure it out. When I'm going to leave the house. I don't know, man. There's a lot of things I still got to figure out, but, hoping just walk around Ann Arbor, reminisce a little bit,
yeah, you know,
getting the absolutely. Feels about my time back at the university. So we'll see. No plans as of now, but hopefully I'll put some together.
There you go, man. Well, I greatly appreciate you coming on the pod as usual. And I greatly appreciate all of you guys for tuning in and listening today. You can follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon. And Stephen, where are you at, my friend?
You can find me at Stephen Toski.
And you can also find Stephen on the Maize and Brew YouTube channel, where he's busting out content left and right per use. And certainly give Maize and Brew a follow, like whatever you end up doing. If you're on Facebook, Twitter, any of that stuff, TikTok. I hope that we can get a TikTok at some point, but also Discord. Search Maize and Brew on Discord. We're trying to get that community up and running as well, and give us 5-star reviews on all of our podcasts. And, you know, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you're listening to it right now, give us a 5-star. We would greatly appreciate it. For Stephen Ostatoski, I am Vaughn Lozon. We'll come back next week with more Michigan football recruiting. Until then, go blue. Be Washington.